should say good evening from Republic Broadcasting. This is the Barden Report. E.J. Barden is my name. And we're here again on this Saturday, 12th of August, 2017. And I'm usually thinking it's nearly impossible where to start, but we do have a good, very good informative guest this week. But what I mean by that is the relentless attack on us. Endless, endless, endless. It's cranking up every day. The surveillance society is... it's just got out of control now, what YouTube and Google are doing. And not to mention poisonous food, obnoxious legislation, pharma drugs, and all the rest of it. But today we have an outstanding guest, a gentleman called Jim Lee. He has devoted many, many years to exposing what's going on in chemtrails and geoengineering. And he has an outstanding website, one of the most best laid out I've ever seen, actually. He's up there with Natural News as climateeur.com and climateeur. There's a few subsidiary sites on it, but he has tremendous graphics and very, very detailed articles, etc. So do we have Jim Lee? Hello? Hello? Okay, okay. Jim will be with us in a few minutes anyway. But just looking through his articles here, and he's just, which is something we'll put to him, that the climate global warming brigade have no idea. It shows you they don't do research themselves, that this is going on. The third element of global warming is there's pollution out there. There's natural climate change going on since the beginning of time. And there's this geoengineering going on at every level. And it is a part of warfare between the superpowers. And one of the articles he has here is this, yeah, cloud seeding, chemtrails, and rogue geoengineering. That's quite a good article. And this, we'll ask him when he comes on about the problem with the chemtrail community. But and another one's five reasons how cloud seeding should be illegal. And this goes back, I remember reading one of his articles, the first time they made any attempts to do this was 100 years ago. Can you believe that?
Imagine how sophisticated
it is again. Hello, have we got Jim Lee?
What's up, PJ? How's it going, man?
There you go. You're on. You're live, okay?
Sounds great. Let's do this thing. Great. Hi, everybody.
Very good. Very good, very good. We had Jim Lee on before. And for an hour, but he's going to battle on for 2 hours today, I hope. But I was just saying to the folks that is it fair to say there's many, many things you can talk to about detail and give you the floor totally and won't be listening to me today. The climate, start off, the Global Warming Brigade, they know virtually nothing about this. Well, what would you think of that statement?
So global warming is kind of a joke.
Well, the people at least, are pushing it.
The people that are pushing it are called technocrats. And mm-hmm. The technocrats basically want an energy monetary unit. And their ultimate goal is to create a governing body of scientists and engineers who manage every single resource on the planet. And in order to do that, they're going to use the scientific method and apply computer models to determine the best use of everything on the planet. And one of those happens to be the energy monetary unit, aka the carbon credit or carbon tax. And that is a way to
finance the whole thing.
Yeah, to monetize energy, like an ethereal thing. So, I mean, the freaking magicians of Wall Street constantly come up with, you know, these magic entities that are not really a thing, and then they turn them into money. And sure, this is one of those cases where you say, well, this amount of carbon dioxide was going to burn the whole planet, and it's going to cost you this. And then they charge you, and that way they can have, you know, winners and losers, haves and have-nots, and they can punish the, you know, certain companies while padding other companies. Yeah, it's just a form of leverage. So if you look at global warming,
carbon taxes. Is that what you're saying? Carbon taxes.
That's right. I mean, bingo. So you have to start from that point. You know, with every single big anything, especially if it has the words smart or sustainable in it, you better follow the money. Because the money will lead you right back to some technocrats. And, you know, shout out to Patrick Wood. If you guys haven't read his book, Technocracy Rising, go read it. Yeah. So, you know, I publish all my research on my blog at climateviewer.com. And then I map a lot of that on climateviewer.org. And the reason why is because a picture is worth a thousand words. So the idea behind Climate Viewer was to kind of take a you know, macro view of everything, you know, pollution, privacy, and propaganda, the three P's, the things that matter to you. You know, don't poison me, don't spy on me, don't lie to me. And how can I do all that in one spot? Well, you know, you can map out the people that are spying on you, you can map out pollution. You can map all this stuff out. You can map out the political climate. So Climate Viewer was, you know, to try not to be so in the weeds that you get lost, but really take a macro view of the whole world and look at what the issues are for myself personally. And of course, everybody gets to play along because Climate Viewer is free and it's open source. So, and there are no ads on either one of my sites. So you come to climateviewer.com, climateviewer.org. One's a blog, one's a map, and, you know, you're going to read a lot of stuff that, you know, it's all made by myself. I do it at night.
There's outstanding graphics. You do all the graphics as well?
Yes, sir. So, yeah, I'm an artist. I get it from my grandmother. She's a Native American artist up in Montana. And, I didn't even know that until I was like 20 years old and then won art awards that my, you know, grandmother was an artist. But anyway, yeah, from a very early age, I did, you know, charcoal, pastel painting, oil painting, all that stuff. And then I got into computer graphics and I've done t-shirt design and I've done some 3D graphics work. I did a 3D video game. I took a Rainbow Six, it's a Tom Clancy video game, and modded a bunch of maps and got 3D Studio Max and made my own map. So we turned a SWAT team game in modern setting into a Star Trek-like space game with laser guns and, you know, the gun from Aliens, you know, the Ripley gun. And, like, we changed all of the parts, the characters, the skins, the interface, the map. So I have a graphics background.
It's going on in technology, isn't it? It's fair to say, all of it. But one of the things you said, I heard you say before, just going back to the beginning of this, or whatever way you want to play it, the first, did you say 1913, 1915 was the first time they did some kind of primitive tests on this? Is that right?
No, well, when I did a presentation recently at, just to kind of keep with this global warming theme, G. Edward Griffin had a conference at Freedom Force International's Third Congress, December 2016. I flew out to Arizona and gave a presentation called Geoengineering, Weather Modification, and Weaponizing Nature. And that's what you're referring to. And I started at 1915 because, you know, it's 100 years ago, 1915, 2015. Yeah. So I was just trying to put a little, you know, cap on it because, A, I had 45 minutes to talk, and, B, you know, I kind of wanted to tie a bow on the whole thing. And it's a very interesting story. So I started with the story about Charles Hadfield. And the short version of
who's
it
he?
Is...
Tell her who's he?
Yeah, so Charles Mallory Hadfield was known as the Moisture Accelerator, also sometimes called the Rainmaker. There's a great song by a jam band I love called Widespread Panic, and the song is called Hadfield. I suggest you listen to it. Go get it on iTunes or something. But Hadfield was paid by the city of Los Angeles $1,000 to make it rain. He delivered 19 inches of rain, by burning chemicals in large towers that evaporated into the sky and, he said, attracted rain. And this is a very early form of cloud seeding. And the idea is that you put aerosols into the sky. Those aerosols, or minute particles, you know, like specks of dust, specks of other liquid drops, these can work as what's called cloud seeds or cloud condensation nuclei. So water, and all you need is a little bit of static electricity and some water, and bam. Water sticks to that cloud seed, and it gets big enough, and hopefully it falls back down as a raindrop. If not, you know, we know how that can go. You can actually put too many seeds into the sky. So this is something that's been recently determined, that if you put too many seeds into the sky, you can actually shut off rain. And what this
create
is called
a drought.
Yeah,
that's the way they create.
Yeah, it's called overseeding. And overseeding is basically the idea there's only a finite amount of water in the sky in one given area. And in order for that cloud to dump its rain out, you really got to, you know, you got to have the proper mixture. So if there's not enough water and there's way too many seeds, all of the aerosols that are formed, they don't have enough water to ever fall. So what happens is, in this overseeded cloud, no rain falls, and then it, you know, obviously it goes here in America. Most of the cloud seeding projects happen on the West Coast. So this is where Charles Hadfield was. He was in Los Angeles, and he went to San Diego. And San Diego said they'll pay him $10,000 if he could fill up the Lake Morena Dam.
But what year was that?
And that was in 1915. So December 1915, he started building his towers and burning, you know, with his secret chemical vat. And it started raining, and it got pretty bad pretty quick. And it actually filled the Sweetwater Dam, the Lower Otay River Dam, but the Lake Morena Dam was not filled yet. So what happens? He keeps on, you know, making it rain because he had to, you know, get his deal. So what happens? The Sweetwater Dam collapsed. The Lower Otay River Dam collapsed, and he filled up the Morena Dam. So there were several million dollars of damage. He actually had to run out of town in the middle of the night because people wanted to kill him. And he, you know, of course, wanted to get paid. So he comes back, he says, pay me the $10,000 you owe me. I filled the dam up. And they looked at him and, well, this is the recurring theme in weather modification. So they looked at him and said, sure, we'll pay you the $10,000. And then you will have to assume liability for all of the damage done by those floods caused by the dams breaking. If not, we'll blame it on God. So since 1915,
the drought in California for the past 4 or 5 years was caused by cloud seeding deliberately.
Well, I'm not a speculative conspiracy guy. That's kind of what makes me unique. Like, a lot of people will, you know, tell you a whole lot of, you know, bullshit, and I'm not into that. So what I'm going to tell you is just the facts. The facts are. Excuse me one second. The facts are, in California, you have several problems that coincide. So I tried to look at a history of, you know, drought in California just to see, is this something that happens all the time? Turns out, happens all the time. So every 5 to 10 years, they have a drought in California, period. Going back to 1900, looked at it. Pretty lengthy history of that. So I try to find out, is there a correlation? My first guess was got to be the sun. So solar minimum, solar maximum, went and laid them over, big, big fail. No correlation whatsoever. So I still, you know, and of course nobody will ever be able to solve the mystery of what exactly is causing this all the way back to 1900, but I would be willing to take a stab at it that currently we do have the ability to really screw it up in several ways, one of which is California has several, I would say at least 15 different operational cloud seeding projects. Now, these are all along the mountain ranges of the east side of California, from the top of it to the bottom of it. And these cloud seeding projects, they pretty much run from October to March of every single year. And I have the NOAA reports. They are available on weathermodificationhistory.com. Go to weathermodificationhistory.com. And when you go there, click on programs. And you're going to get sent to a page on climateviewer.com. And in there, you will see the cloud seeding reports from the government. So basically, there's a law that says if you modify the weather in America, you have to, by law, report it to NOAA.
And how truthful are these reports?
Well, of course, with any good law, there are always exceptions. So whatever I'm reading, and also on weathermodificationhistory.com, if you click right next to programs, there's another section that says laws. If you click on laws, that will take you to these laws I'm talking about, one of which was very interesting to me. So if you're in the state of Washington and you're modifying the weather and you happen to be a university, you are exempt from notifying that you modify the weather. That's a state law.
They have the authority to do that, don't they?
Well, at least in the state of Washington, the law says that they have an exemption clause for those particular, you know, it says for scientific purposes. It's very broad, is my point. Now, I don't think that Washington law supersedes the national reporting law, but at least on a state level, a good example is like the Texas Weather Modification Board. They've got extensive, you know, cloud seeding laws. You can go to their website, read all about it. And they're pretty, you know, open about all this stuff. You know, like, just most people don't understand the size and scope of active weather modification programs. I mean, right now in Sacramento, the Sacramento Municipal Utility District is offering $1,900,000 to cloud seed this year. And I think, like, it's a year or two long.
Who are they offering the money to?
Anybody who'll do it.
Well, I thought that was all wrapped up in the military to do it.
No.
Anyway.
Most of the companies that do this are like North American Weather Consultants, Weather Modification Incorporated. There's a couple smaller outfits. One real creepy one is SciBlue Incorporated. It's run by an ex-Air Force colonel, retired Air Force colonel, David Kaczynski. He operates cloud ionizers and claims to be able to steer atmospheric rivers with radio waves. So this is all real stuff, and I got that from an actual permit to modify the weather in Texas in 2012, where they said they were going to use radio frequency ionizers to steer atmospheric rivers to Texas. And lo and behold, from 2012 on, Texas was flooded.
Mm-hmm.
Texas floods every single week. You just see them over and over again. And what happened also? California dried up. So what I noticed was that California usually has something that's called an atmospheric river that lashes through and, you know, dumps the rain across California. These bands usually extend from the equator. And they, oddly enough, had really just stopped coming to California. In fact, there's a lot of scientific evidence to back that statement up, that, you know, the atmospheric rivers just kind of dried up in California and they magically started coming to Texas, which coincides with David Kaczynski and SciBlue and a company called Acquiesce using these cloud ionizers to steer atmospheric rivers. So I have an article on climateviewer.com. It's called How Texas Stole California's Rain. There's a video by the same title on YouTube, How Texas Stole California's Rain. And it's a real thing. Now, this is the kind of stuff that nobody talks about. Absolutely nobody talks about it.
Regarding cloud seeding, chemtrails, and geoengineering, are those three very distinctly different subjects?
All same thing.
Really? I see.
Yeah, technically they're all the same thing. What do they all have in common? Dump chemical in atmosphere for desired effect.
These chemicals, they're not just going away and blowing up in the atmosphere. They're doing shocking damage to soil and to people, surely.
Yeah, and I'm willing to bet that it's much worse than people have given it any credit. And I think that really back to the climate change thing, you know, that's why I call it climate viewer. Because at the end of the day, I see a lot of propaganda and deception. And I see people, you know, saying, look, blame CO2, blame nitrous oxide, blame yourself for burning wood in Oregon, blame yourself for CFCs. But do not blame us, the globalists, for these massive shipping container, you know, ships that make ship tracks that cover the whole effing ocean in clouds. They say that 16 of these ships produce more CO2 and more climate damage than all of the cars on the planet combined.
Why is that? That's not just the sheer volume of pollution they're putting out, is it? Or is it additional chemicals?
It is, because what they use is something called bunker fuel. And bunker fuel is a very dirty diesel fuel. It has a lot of soot and coal fly ash and, you know, all of these, you know, cloud seeds that come out of the exhaust. So because they put so many seeds into the atmosphere and over the ocean, obviously, there's plenty of moisture. That's where all of our rain on the planet allegedly comes from, right? Sure. So if you put a whole bunch of seeds over the ocean, what do you get? You get massive clouds that make what people commonly refer to as chemtrails, contrail cirrus clouds. They make them look tiny. In fact, if you go to climateviewer.org on Climate Viewer 3D, you can go to the live section. This is in the map menu. Go to live, and it'll say satellites. Live is next to it. Just click on satellites, and then go to any one of those satellite views. You can. I have everything that NASA WorldWind has, and everything that ESA, which is the European Space Agency, I have them both. So everything they got, you can go right there and see it. So you can go turn on the MODIS Terra corrected reflectance and see these ship tracks. You can go to the 367 band. It'll even highlight them for you. It'll like take the background haze and make it a different color and then highlight the ship tracks inside these cloud banks. Pretty amazing. And they're huge.
Just to clarify, in case I've missed it, these ships are not just putting out their own smoke and diesel fumes. Are you saying they're putting out additional pollution as well?
Because of the type of fuel that they use, and because of the size of them, and because just that alone. I mean, we're talking engines. I mean, I can't even describe. You just go look it up. 16 ships put out more pollution than all the cars on the planet. So you know, my joke is, if you seriously, honestly are scared that global warming is a thing because of CO2, sink those 16 ships. And then you don't have to tell people in Oregon they can't burn firewood this winter.
Very good. That's incredible. I've never heard that stated before. That's an incredible revelation. It really, really is.
Yeah. But it is a fact. It is a fact. So let me give you another one. Cirrus clouds created by aviation are 5,000 times greater at heating the planet than all of the CO2 emitted by planes since the start of aviation.
Wow.
That's a scientist who said that just recently. And that's how big this chemtrail problem is. A, people are referring to them as chemtrails. Because when you call it chemtrails, you're just generalizing. So for me, I like to have fun with it. You know what I mean? Partially because I'm redesigning my website right now. I'm not ready for everybody to really, you know, anyway, I'm in a holding pattern, if you will. And B, it's fun. People have a lot of thoughts about the word chemtrail. Here's how I view it. There are many different types of chemtrails. Some of them are chemical trails released in the troposphere. There are the chemtrails released in the stratosphere that everybody fears from David Keith and Ken Caldera. And there is mesosphere and ionospheric chemtrails, what I like to call chemtrails from space. I have two videos up on YouTube right now.
You know the phrase that's used, space weather? Connects off with that. Tell us what that is in relation to that.
Right. So you hear a lot of people say, well, chemtrails and heart. And this has got to confuse the hell out of a lot of people. So what do chemtrails have to do with heart? Because what the hell would a cirrus cloud have anything to do with heart? And obviously it would have nothing to do with heart. But sounding rockets. Now we're getting somewhere. So for the last 3 years.
What are they?
Sounding rockets are rockets that release chemicals in the near space medium, aka the mesosphere, the thermosphere, the ionosphere, the space right around our planet. These rockets release chemicals which create ion clouds. This process is known as, wait for it, plasma seeding. This is plasma cloud seeding. It is plasma ion cloud seeding. What they do is they release aluminum, barium, strontium, sulfur hexafluoride, and a long list of other chemicals from these sounding rockets and satellites. I have a lengthy list of them on climateviewer.com, climateviewer.org, and weathermodificationhistory.com. One of which is called CREs, the Combined Rocket Release Experimental Satellite, CRESS. No, Rocket Release, CRRES. Anyway.
I see.
So these guys, everybody's talking about chemtrails and barium and aluminum, but they're pointing at Delta Airlines going, and that's where it comes from. And I'm going.
Very good. Hang on to that. We're coming up to the bottom of the hour break, and we'll be back in just 3 minutes, okay?
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Kelormax is Nutramedical Heavy Metal Detox formula includes DMSA, dimercaptosuccinic acid, EDTA, ethylene diamine tetraacetic acid, cilantro, chlorella, garlic in a special form that researchers have benefited from removing heavy metals, and acetylcysteine and alpha-lipoic acid. This oral formula is the best oral formula available in the world for removing heavy metals safely from the body It also has a special shilajit addition of trace elements from the Himalayan mountains and humic fulvic acid to replace trace minerals drawn out by the Killermax. Killermax is the best oral chelation agent available in the world, and you can obtain it at Nutri, N-U-T-R-I, medical.com, 888-212-8871, that's Nutri, N-U-T-R-I, medical.com, or 888-212-8871.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one of them from Amazon.com. I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. I was a little bit alarmed, as I have always been in good health. I started this regime as soon as it arrived, and I have noted that the heaviness in my chest is gone and the pressure headaches I have been having are lessened. I am hoping to see greater results as time progresses, as I am an avid non-user of pharmaceuticals and avoid them at all cost if possible. This was, I think, a great alternative to heart medication. Not that I am a doctor, and for some, there is no choice, but again, for someone like me, I am so far pleased with the results. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to aroutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Okay, and we're coming back in from the bottom of the hour break. But no, Jim, that was a stunning few words, even in the first 20 minutes there, those revelations you made there. I've never heard that, all that put together so well. But there's some stunning information there. It really is.
Thank you.
You know, this proliferation of super tankers, super container ships, and cruise liners, what's the rate of increase of them? They've nearly doubled or trebled in the last 20 years, haven't they?
I haven't looked, honestly. Like, that's something I'm going to map out in the near future. Like, I rely heavily on my maps. They're at climateviewer.org because I think that a lot of people, you know, they get lost in the way the internet works. So the problem that we have as activists is that, you know, people have very little time, and people are, you know, typically, like, you know, washing clothes and they're smoking a cigarette on their back porch, and they got 5 minutes to watch a video. So how are they going to get your hour, let alone meet you for the first time? And like, oh, I like your website, but you've got 199 articles. I'm never going to read that. So the problem is that, like, for activists, you know, you really got to get it down to, you know, what do I hope to accomplish in 3 to 5 minutes? And for me, the map, you know, is like, you know, like they say, a picture is worth 1,000 words. So I can write about it all day long. I can make a video. It could be, you know, 5 minutes, but will probably never do the justice that just having a map, taking one look at fracking wells in America, it takes your breath away. You think
that is so true. You can't. I'm near finished. I'm doing the referencing on this book on cashless society, and it's driving me nuts. But the whole book now needs graphics. and I'll talk to you, but I think you're the man to do it. But if people can't be guided through a book with graphics and stuff, they're not, unless they're professional readers, they're lazy readers, you know, and they've too much to do anyway. And the
books still occupy the special space, but we're talking about just the internet, you know, as long as it's, if it's coming to somebody in their hand in a phone, which is like 70% of the internet now, people have very little time.
Yeah. So I can't cope with the internet on a phone. I just wouldn't do it. But I'm of an age where I didn't grow up with tech. I just add this to what you're saying, and I'll let you carry on. In one of the Pew research about social habits in Canada and the States recently, it's done over many, many years, again and again and again, that 10, 15 years ago, the average second number of seconds people can concentrate heavily on something was 12 seconds. It's now down to 8 before they get distracted, and then they go back at it again. So it's a soundbite society, that's for sure.
Yeah, and then that's something else I really haven't covered recently on climateviewer.com. And Climate Viewer News is my blog, climateviewer.com. I cover mainly like three topics: is privacy, propaganda, and pollution. And in the propaganda category is a lot. And one of the big things that I found out is like, I mean, you're practically brain dead when you're watching TV. I think I kind of intrinsically knew this. Like, you know, I like movies, but TV shows and just mindless, you know, like I feel like I'm drooling on myself. You know, like I knew this before I knew it. So I always like, you know, seeked out video games. You know what I mean? Because the odd thing about video games is that if I play a first person shooter, the more I play it, the faster my reaction times in real life become. You know,
you're the first person to promote it. I've never played a video game in my life. That's the kind of person I am. So you reckon I've missed out?
Well, no, you haven't. It's never too late. You should start today because, in fact, it can help you prevent Alzheimer's. Seriously, your brain is a muscle. You must work it out. And playing video games is a great way to do that. In fact, you know, like for my daughter, you know, I would rather her play Minecraft because it is Legos that I don't have to clean up. And she has to be creative. I mean,
well, that's a very hot subject with me. I've never had children, but I've been involved in raising my children, my sister's children, and my younger brother came along 15 years after the rest of us, etc. But anyway, so I have knowledge of raising children. But I have this thing that no way any young child should be let near a electronic pad, what do you call it, or anything until they're 7 or 8 years of age. It's a very bad influence on their mind.
Well, yeah, and that's why it should definitely be limited, and it has to be tightly controlled. And, you know, of course, I'm having to battle with my daughter already. She's 7, and, you know, she wants it because it is addictive. It has a power. So the power that it has is your brain gets addicted to what's called hyper-reality. And you see this in, like, almost every single TV show. You know, Seinfeld and Kramer are 1 second they're in the apartment, and the very next second they're in the movie theater.
Mm-hmm. But a young person ought to be learning about themselves and life and their parents, and life is not about pressing buttons on apps, and that's an appalling thing. Your children, you know, parents just plonking a child in front of a tablet, that's the word, and leaving them while they do something else, that's an appalling thing to do, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, you know, it's doubly bad.
A 2-year-old is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's doubly bad because if you go to climateviewer.com/EMF, climateviewer.com/EMF, the article is called Why Fried, and it's about how electromagnetic frequencies affect your health, and especially for children. And, you know, it breaks my heart to see all these children with cell phones. When they designed these cell phones, they basically took a military-age male cranium, and they came up with a specific absorption rate of 4 watts per blah, blah, blah. Now, this was this specification for these cell phones was designed for a male, you know, average, you know, male 18 to 24. And their skulls are much thicker than children's.
Sure.
So for children to have a device that is a microwave, and everybody knows what happens when you put water in a microwave, it boils. And even though these are not strong as your 1,000-watt microwave, they're only 4 watts, they are slowly cooking your meat, your liquids, and they can lead to things like glioma. They have been attributed to that. The actual paper that comes with every single cell phone says, do not touch this to your skin. Yet every, you know, 12 to 16-year-old girl I see has it either tucked into her bra or her waistline. Mm-hmm. Pressed against their body all the time. Now, this
I hit people very hard on this. I'm sure. Just staying on the same subject, if you go to people's houses and they have an infant around their arms, I say, would you ever get rid of that microwave, that roaming phone, which you don't need? And as regards Wi-Fi, you can put a Devolo unit from the computer into the plug system of the house. Every plug in the house will pick up the internet with another Devolo unit. Even people running B&B bed and breakfast, and they get very, very annoyed that I'm attacking them. I said, do you want the child to get a brain tumor or retarded growth? But I've raised it so many times with people, but it's amazing, even educated people, how stupid they are. They're quoting back to you the marketing language they read on the packet.
Yeah, and I mean, really, honestly, there's so much marketing push because there are, you know, $1 trillion in these cell phones mm-hmm. right now. 5G is getting rolled out with no, you know, idea of the health ramifications. Meanwhile, over in the UK, they're saying any child under 16 years old should not have a cell phone. Chief medical officer.
Yes, they're really coming out of that now. I'd like you to talk about that 3G, 4G, and 5G. I'm sitting in a room with a wire. Everything is wired up here, but it's also given off. My internet supplier says, leave the router on all the time. So I've rearranged 8 or 9 plugs here so the router's on all the time. It feeds the internet signal up stronger coming in on the cable, on the line. I have a line, you know, a telephone line, internet.
There was a case where a company called Comcast here in America was actually flipping the freaking Wi-Fi back on people's routers. Even if they turned them off, they'd turn them back on. You combine this with your DECT wireless phones, with your wireless security system, with your smart meter, which is your power meter on the back of your house, got this huge power output. And then, you know, obviously your local cell phone tower, which is ripping through your house, and then the Doppler radar. God forbid you're on a fifth floor of a building near a Doppler radar with the 750,000-watt microwave ripping through your house. So for me, I started mapping out all of this radiation. On climateviewer.org, you can go to electromagnetic facilities and see all of the cell phone towers in America that are registered with the FCC as of 2012. And basically, when you turn it on, the whole United States looks like it has hair. And you have to zoom in, and you see we're talking billions of watts. When you add it up, when you're talking about the cell phone towers and the AM/FM radio and then the NTSC and DTV televisions and then the land broadcast mobile and then the Doppler radars and the FAA radars and the missile defense radars and the, you know, I just keep, you know, the wind profile radars and, you know, I keep adding it up because the question that gets me about climate change is this. Chemtrails from space, rockets, and HAARP. What do they got all in common? Harry Wexler, before he died in 1961, said that rockets were tearing holes in the ionosphere and that their plumes of exhaust particles were destroying the ozone layer.
Mm-hmm.
And he warned that if people kept this up, that it would destroy the ozone layer, and if people were to do this on a global scale, that one could control global weather and the jet stream through the use of sounding rockets oh my. So before he was able to give this warning, he died. And the very next year, the Rand Corporation was like, hey, you know what would be a great way to modify weather on a global scale? Sounding rockets.
Well, the Rand, they are a truly evil organization. They think up ways for better, more elaborate ways to kill people in warfare. That's what the Rand Corporation do, the number one client of the CIA. But they're a despicable organization. And their sister operation in the Tavistock in the UK, that's another one.
Oh, don't say Tavistock. Oh, God, don't say Tavistock. Anyway, so right now, if you go to YouTube, my YouTube channel is youtube.com/JimLeeClimateViewer. And on there are two videos so far, Chemtrails from Space, Part 1 and Part 2. Part 1 is the past, and Part 2 is the present. I still haven't done Part 3. Everybody's gleefully waiting for the future.
Very good. I hope they... How long have you been on YouTube, by the way?
2000.
You know the way they're destroying people and kicking people off, because the article they say, you know...
They've not
up to community standards, which is meaningless phrase, just to censor you. Are you at risk of that happening?
All of my numbers are fake. I test this stuff all the time. Like, I'll go on my wife's phone, which is not logged into anything, and it's not attributed with my Google account, and the Google artificial intelligence eyeball in the sky does not know it's... Anyway, and I'll go to some of my videos, and they'll come up error 500, you know, like the page does not exist. And then other times I'll go there, and it'll say there are 20 comments, and she'll scroll down, there'll be two comments. WTF, right? And then, you know, I'll have a video, and then I'm watching, like, you know, my Twitter stats and all this stuff, and I'm like, this has got at least, you know, several thousand impressions. I go over to YouTube, it says 100 views. I've actually had it say 100 views and have 120 likes. So, like, everybody has known for quite some time that they have been rate limiting. There is a process at Google where they rate limit certain topics. And the most notable one recently was the intentional, downgrading of Republican or right-leaning articles on not only
Google, like ourselves. Yeah, we're being attacked all the time.
And not only YouTube and Google, but Facebook. I mean, they were straight up busted. And Facebook actually had Sean Hannity, like, called in all the Republicans. They're like, no, look, this was an accident. You know, we'll never do it again. But for people who don't know at home, and I saw it very clearly on YouTube, when you go to the trending section on YouTube, it's curated by some, you know, snowflake libtard, you know, who makes damn sure that they put videos with I almost said the F word, 400 views. I mean, a video from some shit liberal, national propaganda radio, NPR bullshit nobody would ever watch, 400 views, and they put it in the trending section. So they're, I mean, and they did this for the entire election cycle. And, of course, now, to this day, you can go to YouTube and you go to the trending section, you click news, and it'll be all left, you know, left good, right bad. It's still that
way. Under it. They set that up under a section using young people called heroes. It's parallel to Google's Jigsaw.
Yeah, they're the Nazi censorship brigade that can mass flag videos and take them down. Now, here's an interesting story about mass flagging. I was the victim of cyberbullying and cyber gang stalking, where a group of five guys and a girl uploaded 500 YouTube videos about me in an attempt to black flag my SEO at climateviewer.com, and they were very successful at it. I was new to the game, didn't know how all this worked. Anyway, so this dude has 999 YouTube accounts, okay? And if I were to go to flag a video to try to get it down, because, you know, it had my name, my address, my face, you know, penises. Anyway, if I were to try to flag the video down, the guy would upload like six more videos. So, not only is it a left-leaning, you know, completely biased? They are actually facilitating gang stalking and allowing people to have 1,000 accounts and upload just the most...
Absolutely. And it's at the peak at the moment. But anyway, we're just coming up to the last break of this hour, and we'll be back in about 3 minutes. Hang on, okay?
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. And Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Back in at the tail end of the hour, last break. But no, Jim, it's stunning information you're giving out there. We need to do 10 hours on this, but it's an incredible subject. But needless to say, a phrase I use about all this carry-on is that we're living under multi-layered criminal syndicates. Every bit of this relates back to criminal abuse of law and the criminal abuse of the population. Is that fair to say? Hello? Is Jim back yet? Not back yet. Hello? Okay, we'll wait until he comes back in. I have a lot of questions to ask Jim about following on from that. Especially these towers that are plunked right in schoolyards and in universities, and this thing of 3G, 4G, and 5G, which is absolutely shocking. It'll just have to be stopped. There's no doubt about it. And another
What I was going to say about that is a lot of people really need to get involved in their local schools. I'm sorry. I thought we had 5 minutes. I was running over to the coffee pot.
Oh, that's okay. Okay. So, on the top of the hour break is only 2 minutes, and then it's a 20. Oh, I think it's what Sam. We're running down then 20-minute, 25-minute run to the next one after the top of the hour, very short break. But one thing I was monitoring myself. There's a very guy called Ewan Brown. He gives out reports on YouTube on the Oroville Dam. Now, that had gone into trouble from just sheer maintenance neglect by Jerry Brown and all these lefties in California who don't believe in these dams. I mean, can you believe this? And the damage to the Oroville Dam, the slipway, and it is. Have you seen any of the videos of that? It is a gargantuan size, the slipway that's damaged. It's one of the biggest engineering products to repair projects in America to repair it. Have you seen any of that?
Yeah, in fact, I just did a video on it. It's on my YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/Jim Lee Climate Viewer. And the video is about the Sacramento Municipal Utility District and, you know, how history seems to be repeating itself. So at the beginning of the show, we were talking about Charles Hadfield and how, you know, San Diego paid him to fill up a dam and he ended up flooding two other dams. Well, today, right now, this minute, Sacramento Municipal Utility District is offering $900,000 to do cloud seeding, you know, less than 20 miles away from the Oroville Dam. So
they're out of their mind.
Yeah. So this thing. So right now, the Oroville Dam is in, you know, disrepair, to say the least. I saw a local meeting where they literally said they were $5 million behind on the dam. So if they're $5 million behind on the dam, why are they offering almost $1 million to cloud seed?
Well, the first place to be destroyed if the dam bursts is Sacramento. It'll be destroyed.
Yeah, and it is just north of Sacramento. In my video, you can see I mapped it out. It's currently, if you go to climateviewer.org, which is Climate Viewer 3D, you can go to the weather modification section. And the top two maps in that section, one is the SMUD map, and the other is the Charles Hadfield map. And I'm just showing you how history seems to be repeating itself right now.
Okay, we're at the top of the hour short break, and then we've got more than 20 minutes run down the other side. Okay, no more interruptions. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.